You're listening to another wrestling episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with your guy, Bully Rye, and PJ Steven. That's right, everybody. It's another wrestling episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. As always, it's your guy, Bully Rye, and alongside me for all of our wrestling shows is a wrestling show co-host, PJ Steven. PJ, this is the second episode we've recorded after like not having recorded for like a month and a half. What's going on, bud?
We're recording this in the morning. My time, it is 9:30 in the morning. The sun is out, going over the mountains. It looks incredible outside. I've got my orange juice with no alcohol at all inside of it.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling pretty tremendous here. I'm ready to talk about the state of the business of what I think is the greatest sport of all time, professional wrestling. And I look forward to talking about what's going on currently right now in the business.
Yeah, it's to your point, it's early for, not really early. It's not as early for me. Let's say that it's not as early for me.
But, yeah, you're still over there as a Carolina boy. So,
yeah, got, listen,
11:30 for you.
In fairness, I guess it's a good thing that I'm still on medical leave from the broken rib, because it allows us to do this and it gives us some time to record some shows and to get some content for the audience, especially considering there's a lot going on in the world of professional wrestling. You've got four major companies at this point that all have things going on between New Japan Pro Wrestling, TNA, AEW, and WWE for that matter. And we're going to touch on all of it today, considering that by the time this airs, this coming weekend will be the 2024 WWE Royal Rumble. And we got a lot of fun stuff coming. I mean, yeah. New Japan just had Wrestle Kingdom. We talked about that on our last wrestling show. And we're going to talk some more New Japan right now, because New Japan, we didn't quite get a chance to get to this on the last show because we were already running long. But they have another event coming up with New Japan Pro Wrestling's Battle of the Valley. And there's a lot of stuff going on around New Japan Pro Wrestling Battle of the Valley, because there's a lot of debuts, guys coming in to New Japan and so on and so forth. So PJ, this is your bread and butter. I'm gonna let you kind of take it away, and we'll kind of, you know, go off the cuff here and talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling.
So Battle of the Valley took place January 13th, and it's the same night that another major pay-per-view went on that we'll talk about later on. But right now, Battle of the Valley was an amazing event. Battle of the Valley last year took place in San Jose, California, the San Jose Civic Center, the same place as well that it took place this year. But last year, Mercedes Moné was there, made her New Japan debut. Well, she made her debut in Wrestle Kingdom, but her first match was in Battle of the Valley against Kairi, which was great. But this has, the makings of a fantastic event. Let's start. I'll go through the card a little bit here. Taven Finley took it on TJP in 13 minutes and 7 seconds. That was a great match. Hikuleo and El Fantasmo, of course, after Wrestle Kingdom, being your strong open weight tag team champions and your IWGP tag team champions, they defeated Bullet Club War Dogs, who was Clark Connors and Alex Coughlin. Later on that night, Gabe Kidd would actually challenge Eddie Kingston for the strong openweight championship match, to which it ended in a double countout because, well, Gabriel Kidd can't play by the rules, and they're just pushing so hard that he's the heel. Julia took on Trish Adora. Julia is probably one of the greatest women's wrestlers right now. She is your strong women's champion. I got to see her live in Las Vegas. She's incredible. I want to talk about this because you see it going on the little ticker here if you're watching this on YouTube. Matt Riddle does indeed team with Jeff Cobb, and they come back as the Chosen Bros, who is their old indie tag team name. They defeated TMDK, Zack Sabre Jr., and Bad Dude Tito. But that crowd was hot for Matt Riddle. As soon as he came out, the bro chant started. And he looked fantastic, and he worked just as great.
I got a question before we move on from the Matt Riddle thing, because I do want to talk about Matt Riddle for a second. First of all, you know how I feel about Jeff Cobb. Big fan. Excited for what he's going to do. I did not realize that he was in a tag team with Matt Riddle, the Chosen Bros, prior to Matt Riddle's WWE run. Do you think that this is going to be good for Matt Riddle to maybe potentially sometime return to WWE, a la the Drew McIntyre, a la the Cody Rhodes? Do you think this is an opportunity for him to go and continue? Because he was hot in WWE.
Absolutely.
And for whatever reason, whether he was getting hurt or couldn't stay out of trouble, do you think this is going to be the opportunity for Matt Riddle to kind of continue to grow his brand to come back an even hotter commodity in WWE somewhere down the line?
Yes, I do think that. That being said, Matt Riddle doesn't need WWE. I think he'll be doing just fine, a la Matt Cardona. Matt Cardona has made more money than he did in WWE, along with Mercedes Moné, who it is rumored she will be back in WWE, but that's besides the point. But
no, it's also rumored she was asking for a ton of money, like more than they paid Charlotte Flair, and Charlotte Flair has the most lucrative contract for a women's superstar in WWE history. So I don't know if they're going to...
Charlotte Flair might have a very lucrative contract right now, but where is she right now?
I mean, she's hurt. She's got a busted up knee.
I'm sorry.
I mean,
pay me the money to wrestle the matches that Charlotte can't.
I mean, I don't know if he wants to pay.
I know that's not fair because she's injured. And it's also not fair because Mercedes Moné was just injured like 5-6 months ago. We're living in reality, not the past. I think. We're going to talk about another debut that I think is going to be even more like a comparison to Cody later on down the road.
Yeah, of course.
You know who we're talking about.
Yeah, I know who we're going.
You know what we're talking about. We talked about him a little bit in our last Wrestle Kingdom episode, Wrestle Kingdom 18, which to me, I still was an amazing card. Let's get to the semi-main event, which is Jon Moxley taking on Shingo Takagi. No DQ match. 26 minutes and 16 seconds. This match was, stiff, hard-hitting. Shingo Takagi bled all over the place along with Jon Moxley. It was just so fun seeing Shingo Takagi kind of be this brawler for a little bit and come out there in jeans and a t-shirt and just start wrecking Jon Moxley. It was great. It was a fun match. After the match, Jon Moxley would call out Tetsuya Naito and tell him that he wants his head on a spike and that we will be seeing that main event at the Windy City pay-per-view in New Japan in Chicago. Along with that match, Mustafa Ali is going to make his New Japan debut, taking on Hiromu Takahashi in that same pay-per-view. But let's get to the main event here, because this main event is special. And as we know, Will Ospreay was not able to get the global championship at Wrestle Kingdom. But he does have a great match here with Kazuchika Okada, going 28 minutes. And it is Will Ospreay's final singles match for now in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And it did not disappoint. This match was amazing. Will Ospreay went out on his back like he should and gave Okada the win. 28 minutes. And I want to share a quote with you that he shared or that he said when he cut his promo. He said, "Not bad for some little autistic kid from Essex. I cannot believe this journey I've had, and I'm so thankful." Cuts a very
autistic kid. Will Ospreay's autistic?
I guess so. I didn't know that until he cut the promo.
But yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. I assume most... Never mind. I was going to make a British joke, but it's too early.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Will Ospreay, incredible athlete, as I've talked about for years. I think he was the number one pro wrestler of the year of 2023, and I don't think it's even close. Will Ospreay wrestled his last singles match in New Japan. Of course, his final match will be with his group, the United Empire. Yeah, yep. I'm getting confused with the Undisputed Kingdom. Yeah.
And well, you also talked about the UK. You're thinking London. You're thinking like United Kingdom. So I'm sure it was mixed up in your head. Yeah.
There you go. But yeah. So United Empire will be taking on the Bullet Club War Dogs, David Finlay, Clark Connors, Drilla Maloney, Gabriel Kidd, and Alex Coughlin in a 10-man cage match. That will be Will Ospreay's final New Japan match. I look forward to seeing if the War Dogs are just going to wreck Will Ospreay. Part of me thinks that they won't do this because this would be way too insane. But do you remember in Ready to Rumble where, DDP's team is out and then Jimmy King's team comes out and they all just turn and start beating up on Jimmy King? I was thinking like at the end of the match, everybody.
That's how they get rid of
Will Ospreay, and they just throw him out. I don't know. Probably not, because that would just be, again, silly. But Battle of the Valley was a fantastic pay-per-view. It is now up on the app. I had to change my VPN to a Japanese one so that I could watch it live. It was a little bit different, so I had to do a little bit of hacking. I was like the girl from Jurassic Park. That's the worst scene in Jurassic Park, by the way, when she's there trying to hack the system and somehow she figures it out, and I hate that scene.
Yeah.
What I didn't hate, though, was Battle of the Valley. Great pay-per-view. I recommend watching it on the app, New Japan World app.
Well, a couple things we didn't mention that came out of Battle of the Valley. You mentioned Mustafa Ali challenging Hiromu Takahashi, him making his debut here in New Japan. We mentioned in the Wrestle Kingdom episode the debut of Nick Nemeth in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He challenges David Finley at this show or after this show, one way or the other. So Nick Nemeth going to do some work here for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And then Jack Perry shows up at this event, if I'm not mistaken.
He comes out and he attacks Shota Umino. And he lays Umino out hardcore. And then he has an AEW contract that he rips up and throws away.
He's got an armband on his sleeve that says that reads scapegoat. So I'm not sure if this is – I would imagine – that this is all kayfabe, and this is something that AEW is allowing him to do, which to me is exciting because a lot of people were high on Jungle Boy, if you will, when he was teaming with Jurassic Express, and people liked him and liked what his future held, and then he turned heel, and people got sick of him really quickly, and then what happened, you know, that led to the exit, Ahmed Beefcake. You know, departure from AEW, and we didn't see Jack Perry again. And there were a lot of people when we were debating who was going to be the devil, a lot of people were wondering if it was going to be Jack Perry. And like, it better not be Jack Perry. I don't want, you know, yada, yada, yada. And so interesting to see what they're going to go from here with Jack Perry.
To your point, you know, everyone was crapping on Jack Perry for a little while. Going back to Forbidden Door 2, when he took on Sonata for the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, everyone was like, well, why Jack Perry? Because Jack Perry's an incredible athlete, and that match was great. I don't understand the stigma of he's a great athlete. You know, he's great. You know, I said this on the Drop the Mic podcast with Michael Davis. Shout out to him on the Wrestling Movement. I mentioned this on his podcast that Jack Perry is, again, a phenomenal athlete. He has the charisma. He just doesn't have that gift of gab, and that's okay. Not everybody has to have that. I think that if we just let Jack Perry be Jack Perry, I think he'll succeed.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, listen, this is a new angle for them to run with Jack Perry. So I'm really interested to see where they go from this. And if he wrestles in New Japan for a while and comes back to AEW and you know, tells everybody to stick it and kind of see where they take it from here.
By the way, if there are fans that think that AEW wrote him a contract for real and that he went over to New Japan and ripped it up, I mean, they need to take a look in the mirror because
that I want to sell, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't think that AEW and New Japan are working together, I mean, you're out of this. I just sent Ryan a post the other day on Facebook where it was New Japan, the official New Japan Facebook page was randomly promoting an AEW collision. Now, usually they'll do that if there was a New Japan contracted wrestler working the event or something, or if it was something big, they'll do that. But just promoting a random collision, I mean, that of course they're working together. Yeah. But wouldn't that be the dream, though, Frick, if that's how pro wrestling worked? If everybody just kind of supported each other, WWE shared big event here at AEW. They sold out a London thing or whatever. AEW shares their, you know, that's what would be, if the territory days had, and that's a double-edged sword, but if the territory days had social media, you know, could you imagine that? That would be basically what this would be. Of course, you'd still have fans that cry and, you know, only support one because they think it matters. But, like, still, God, wouldn't that just be so fun?
You know? The idea for pro wrestling and pro wrestling companies to help grow pro wrestling and promote one another to help grow the business, I mean, that's the goal. I mean, we've got pro wrestling on television every single night of the week now. Every single day, we've got some form of pro wrestling on TV. And so it'd be nice if everybody could sort of get together and kind of cross promote and sort of, you know, help. I understand why companies don't want to share talent, you know, specifically WWE, because let's say you send your talent over to TNA and somebody gets hurt and then they're not on your television program for 9 months. So I understand the concept, but promoting each other and helping grow pro wrestling is not a bad thing. And I mentioned TNA, and that's what we're going to get to next. TNA presents the Hard to Kill pay-per-view, the re-debut of TNA. That's right. Impact Wrestling is no more, as TNA has returned to the world of pro wrestling, debuting all new championships for the brand.
And they're beautiful.
TNA, let's talk about it for a second. TNA has always had the premier designed championships, with the exception of maybe the Knockouts Championship and that stupid Legends Championship slash, what do you call it? The Television Championship.
Yeah.
They had a couple it was
the TNA Part-Timer Championship.
Yeah. That's a really good way to put it. But other than that, like their titles have always had really cool, I wouldn't call it hip because that's the old guy thing to say, but like really unique designs.
That's a hip belt there.
That's a hip title you got over there.
I'm here with Moose, who has just captured the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Got a very hip title on it right here.
Hip title belt here.
Moose, tell me all about it. I mean,
but would you agree that TNA has always had the premier design championship titles?
Yes, I think them and New Japan have had always the most gorgeous belts. I really, really do. And WWE and AEW have their 1-2s, but to me, TNA and New Japan have had their, like, oh wow, every single belt is gorgeous looking.
WWE, they had the best title design in the world in the Intercontinental Championship, and they ruined it for whatever garbage they have now. The U.S. title finally grew on me, and then they changed it. I like the design of the U.S. title now. It reminds me of the old WCW United States Championship. But
That's my favorite belt design.
Yeah, WCW, it's great. Yeah. US so. Belt. But TNA, I mean, you've got all sorts of different championships between the Knockouts Championship, the X Division Championship is a gorgeous. Oh
my God.
And like you said, the world title. Speaking of the world championship, Alex Shelley defends his newly termed TNA World Heavyweight Championship and loses it to Moose on this show. PG, what's your thoughts on Moose? And in general, what are your thoughts on Alex Shelley holding the title for a little while?
Alex Shelley, I'm a big fan of. He's a big fan of like punk rock, and him and Chris Sabin have that band. I think it's fun. I love Alex Shelley. I love the Motor City Machine Guns. Moose, I'm a huge fan of. And I love the name Moose. You ever been like full force with a moose? I mean, moose are not fun animals. And I love Moose ever since I saw him and Brian Cage and David Starr work at Pancakes and Pile Drivers when we were in for WrestleMania. I was like, oh man, Moose, this is, and I had always seen him a little bit on Impact and the indie scene a little bit, but I had never really studied him and seen him live. And like, I became a fan that day. Moose is an incredible talent, and I think he's humble as hell. And he's got it all right now.
I'm not going to talk about him as an individual, because I haven't done a lot of research on him out of the ring. But you know, when I first started seeing him in TNA, like he was the guy who brought the TNA world title back and had it sort of, you had to merge it with the Impact Wrestling Championship years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there was something that was just missing for with him, for me at least. And in fairness and full disclosure, I haven't watched a lot of TNA in recent weeks. But all signs pointed to the fact that Moose was going to carry this new era of TNA wrestling. Yeah. And I'm curious to see where they go from here, whether or not, and I can't say his name, the guy with the wrestling headgear. Oh my God, it's going to drive me nuts. He's been a big face in TNA, in Impact Wrestling.
Eric Young?
No, not Eric Young.
Oh, this Josh is Alexander.
Josh Alexander. Yeah. Thank you, Josh Alexander. Yeah. So I'm interested to see if they put him back in the title picture, because he had a nice little rivalry with Moose.
Well, it's funny you say that, because, Michael Davis asked me, he said, you know, was Moose the right guy? And I said, yeah, of course Moose was the right guy. Who else? And he did mention Josh Alexander. And I was like, yeah, that's the other guy that it could have been. I agree with that. But yeah, so Josh Alexander is a great talent as well. He just wrestled several New Japan events. But yes, TNA, I think Moose, you're absolutely right, is the right guy to carry TNA into this next era. And I can't wait to see what happens. I could even see them, you know, TNA, and I don't want to skip ahead here, because after the main event, we have a debut, and then we have a new women's champion as well, or knockouts champion. But I could see TNA in the next few years even overpassing what AEW has done with this new rebirth and with this new revitalized charisma.
I think the greatest thing they could do to re-debut TNA is to re-debut everything at Hard to Kill, because TNA has been around for 20 years now.
Yeah.
20 years. And they have never died. They have never like sold to another wrestling company to be absorbed as a la WCW to WWE. So Hard to Kill was the perfect moniker for this pay-per-view. You talk about some guys on the roster, Chris Sabin, the current TNA X Division champion. You've got ABC, the team featuring Ace Austin. And of course, I'm drawing a blank on his tag team partner's name. Part of the TNA Bullet Club, Chris, if you will.
It's Chris something. They are part of the Bullet Club. It's
I'm looking it up right now. I've got it up in another window.
Bay. Chris Bay.
Chris Bay. That's it.
Yeah, Ace Austin. Chris Bay.
Yeah, you've got you know, there's plenty of guys on this roster. Brian Myers, formerly known as Kurt Hawkins. Mm-hmm. Somehow Tommy Dreamer still floating around. Dirty Dango, Fandango on the roster.
PCO, man. Him and PCO put on a great match. I'm still such a mark for PCO.
Heath, formerly known as Heath Slater. I believe his contract is going to be running up soon.
I got kids, man.
Havoc, former women's champion on the roster. A lot of people you've probably never heard of. Johnny Swinger. Still floating around, former WCW fame. Johnny Swinger still floating around here in TNA. Kushida, a big guy that you know we're fans of from New Japan and NXT. Khan, formerly known as Connor of the, and of course now I'm drawing a blank on the tag team name of the in WWE, where they came out and said when they finally reached the main roster, they said they were better than Road Warriors. And then they never amounted to anything on the main roster. So some names, Mike Bailey on this roster. Again, you mentioned Moose.
I also want to mention Grizzled Young Veterans from NXT made their debut here at Hard to Kill as well, losing to the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match for the TNA World Heavyweight Champions. TNA Tag Champions, excuse me.
Yeah, no, good mention there. I'm looking at the rest of the roster.
Ironically, we met them when we were in line together at WrestleMania Access at that same time.
We did.
Because we were in line to meet Nakamura, and then they switched them all up, and Grizzly Young Veterans came out, Eric Rowan and Nikki Cross, which I was still happy about.
Oh, Nikki Cross was so sweet.
And Eric Rowan and I just talked metal, and I was like, I just want to talk about heavy metal with you. Your wrestling career is great, but like, I love Blind Guardian and I love, you know, Hammerfall. Like,
I don't mean to get off the subject of that stuff, but somebody that I was unaware of that re-debuted, and it's funny because I was in a PlayStation party with somebody last night who was doing the trial of WWE 2K and mentioned, as long as I can play with Vladimir Kozlov, I'm okay. Vladimir Kozlov is in TNA as Oleg Prudius. I saw his face, and I'm like, wait a minute, that looks like Alexander or Vladimir Kozlov. And sure enough, it looks like it was a YouTube video. Oleg Prudius makes dominating in-ring debut for Impact Wrestling. This is back November 10th of last year. Santino Marella is on this roster.
Eddie Edwards is still there. Frankie Kazarian, Eric
Trent
Young,
Seven,
obviously. Trent Seven, Rich Swann.
Yeah, so some fun guys here, fun workers over here in TNA. We mentioned a lot of stuff coming from this Hard to Kill pay-per-view. We already mentioned Moose winning the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Jordan Grace wins back the TNA Knockouts Championship from Trinity. And Trinity still listed on the TNA roster, but rumored to be returning to WWE as soon as the Royal Rumble. There's also a picture where Sasha Banks or Mercedes Moné and Bayley were in the audience to support Trinity in the show. How did you feel about Trinity's run here in TNA? And do you think that she is indeed headed back to WWE?
I think she could be going back to WWE because Triple H is pretty high on her. I thought her TNA career was just fine. I think she's a great worker. She can talk. I'm just not a fan of the
feel the glow type stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't. Well, the glow stuff is kind of annoying, but it's her gimmick. I like it, you know, whatever. And it inspires other people. It inspires kids, you know. I like that, you know. But the butt bump finisher is silly to me. But yeah, it's still,
I'm with you.
I mean, honestly, if I could get behind the people's elbow, I guess I'd get behind that because they're both silly.
Maybe we'll have to do an updated curtain call one week for worst new finishers in pro wrestling, since we had like the worst, the bottom five worst finishers at one point.
Yeah, I'm still getting heat for one of mine when I said the Baron Corbin's finisher was just him eating a rock bottom. And I remember like still get flack for that. Like, how? And I'm like he swings his opponent so his opponent can give him a rock bottom. That's his finisher.
That's so funny.
No, it's not. What do you mean, no, it's not? You open your eyes. Anyway.
It's a seesaw rock bottom.
Seesaw rock bottom. That's a good band name.
Seesaw rock bottom, like babies in a straitjacket.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I was thinking, if you've never seen Parks and Rec, there was an episode where Andy Dwyer, otherwise known as Chris Pratt in real life, went through all these different band names that they had gone through and different band, like it was just, his game was... New band name, I call it. And so we had like this monopoly on a bunch of band names. Let's get back to Hard to Kill real quick because we got to get to our first break and talk to AEW and WWE news. Crazy Steve wins the digital media championship from Tommy Dreamer at this show. If you're not aware, the digital media championship is a cross gender, essentially, like I wouldn't call it a 24/7 title, but it's like their version of the television championship. And it's again. Yeah. A very nice looking title belt here. We already mentioned the Knockouts Championship. After Moose won the World Championship, a debut of someone who we've already talked about on this show, formerly known as Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth, shows up at Hard to Kill and essentially attacks and challenges Moose to I don't know, some sort of interaction. I'm looking on the TNA roster, and Nick Nemeth does show up on the TNA roster. So not only is he working for New Japan, he's working for TNA here as well. PJ,
you have to remember his brother is under Ryan Nemeth is under AEW contract, and this is the guy. This is the guy that's gonna do what Cody did.
Cody's gonna go everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to go everywhere. He's going to make a name for himself. He's going to make more money. He's not going to start a promotion like Cody did, but well, he might, but I doubt it. And then WWE is going to ask him to come back, just like they did with Cody. And I guarantee that's what will happen by 2027. Late 2027, early 2028, that's what's going to happen. They're going to ask Nick Nemeth to come back because he's made a name for himself and he's made more money. And he's going to kill it on the indie scene because he right now is the most wanted man. You have him in New Japan trying to take on David Finlay. You have him in TNA trying to take Moose. He has a match at GCW to take on Matt Cardona. Right now, Matt Cardona is the king of the indies. I think that this is all going uphill for Nick Nemeth, and not in a bad way.
Do you think Matt Cardona, otherwise known as Zack Ryder, think he ever makes a return to WWE? Or do you think do you think he's having too much fun on the indies?
He's having too much fun. You know why? Because he gets to professionally wrestle.
What if you mentioned Nick Nemeth is going to do the Cody thing where he's going to be the most sought out wrestler and WWE is going to come to him and offer him all this money and this, that, and the other to come back. Why not do it with Matt Cardona? I mean, you just mentioned he's challenging David Finlay. Like, what if Nick Nemeth wins the New Japan or the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship goes to TNA and wins the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. And let's say he finds his way to AEW and wins like the AEW TNT Championship. Like, and he has a title in every single, you know, big wrestling company. And eventually, you know, that's a decent way to find himself back in WWE. But Cardona's already done that, not with AEW per se, but
right.
Cardona's already had titles all over the world. Like, do you not? I'm with you. I completely agree with you when it comes to Nick Nemeth. I think at some point WWE will approach him again and like, listen, we know that you weren't utilized properly here. Let's bring you back. Let's give you a story arc. Let's give you one more world title run, and then you can ride off into the sunset into your comedy. Why not do something like that with Matt Cardona?
I think you could do something like that with Matt Cardona. I think the difference is Zack Ryder wasn't in WWE, wasn't that as big of a name as Cody Rhodes and as Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler, former two-time
world champion. Yeah.
World champion, NXT world champion.
Money in the Bank champion, yeah.
All I remember about Zack Ryder's career is him winning the Intercontinental Champion in the ladder match at WrestleMania.
Well, he also won the U.S. title. He built his own name being the internet. The self-proclaimed internet
that.
Champion.
Yeah, internet champion, yeah.
He had a fun little storyline where he was the hottest babyface in the world, and he had a fun little storyline where he turned heel on John Cena in a love triangle with Eve Torres, and they dropped the ball like they did with Damian Sandow after Mizdow, like they did with Rusev Day. So, but
dude,
again,
I was just talking to Lauren about Rusev Day. We were watching the Royal Rumble that we, and I'm sorry to interrupt. That's very rude. We were watching the Royal Rumble that we went to. In Philadelphia. And Nakamura won and all that. And the whole crowd just shouting and chanting Rusev Day. I pause and I look at Lauren and I'm like, how do you mess that up? And she goes, I don't. And I said, how do you mess that up?
I mean, WWE did the same thing. They almost did the same thing to the Yes Movement. They did the same thing to Zack Ryder. They did the same thing again with Rusev Day. And so I think at some point there's an opportunity to bring Matt Cardona back to WWE alongside Dolph Ziggler.
I think there is. You could do that. I just think that with Nick Nemeth and Cody, they were bigger names to where it would matter a lot more if they came back. Especially, you know, Nick Nemeth now being, former NXT world champion. He had longevity in the company just a little bit longer. But they dropped the ball so many times with his gimmick of him playing different people's music coming out, and then it was playing no music. But I think the right music for Nick Nemeth now, ironically, is his original theme song, because now that he's out of WWE, now he can actually show the world.
Well, that's a great point. I also, before we take our first break, I do want to throw in one little tidbit. We talked about all the balls that WWE dropped some of these guys. WWE dropped the ball with Dolph Ziggler. They had him as the sole survivor at Survivor Series and did nothing with it.
Yeah, I know.
So, nevertheless.
What a great last moment of that match, and Sting and then Ziggler like doing so good.
But nevertheless, now Nick Nemeth is enjoying the world literally of pro wrestling in companies all over the world, and it'll be fun to see where he goes from here. We're gonna take our first break. We come back, we're gonna talk AEW, and we're gonna talk WWE teasers and rumors before we get to the Royal Rumble preview at the end of the show. And I don't want to keep you as late as we did last week, so stay tuned. We'll be right back to get into AEW and WWE news right here on Tap House and Touchdowns. This episode is brought to you by Carolina Business Equipment. With offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my personal best friend Aaron Thompson at 843-452-8761 for a quote today. And make sure you tell them that Ryan from Tap House and Touchdown sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology. And welcome back to Tap House and Touchdowns, another wrestling episode. It's your guy, Bully Rye, alongside PJ Steven. And let's get right into it here. AEW news and notes. We just had their most recent pay-per-view at World's, was it World's End? I feel like at World's End, like the
World's End, the Simon Pegg movie.
How did I was thinking the Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. Surprised that they didn't get sued by Disney. But AEW news and notes here coming out of World's End. The biggest piece of news coming out, and it might be the worst kept secret or the worst attempted debut, reveal, whatever you want to call it. Adam Cole reveals himself to be the devil and costs MJF the world championship after already costing him the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships held by Adam Cole and MJF to the Kingdom, featuring Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. I believe it was the week prior. Samoa Joe, your new AEW World Heavyweight Champion, and Adam Cole reveals himself to be the devil, and this new faction, the Undisputed Kingdom, with Adam Cole, Mike Bennett, Matt Taven, Roderick Strong, and Wardlow. I want to talk about Wardlow for a second, but PJ, you got a smile on your face. You've got something funny that you want to talk about.
No, not at all. Something funny just came across my screen there.
Okay. So Adam Cole, again, still injured, still not going to be able to wrestle for some time, but reveals himself to be the devil. It's rumored that MJF does not appear on the roster for AEW. There's a high potential that he's going to have to undergo shoulder surgery. He's going to be out for the foreseeable future. So it sounded like they needed to get the title off of him in order for him to be able to heal up and rest. I know how you feel about Samoa Joe, but PJ, why don't you tell us how you feel about Samoa Joe finally winning the world championship here in AEW and how you feel about where his title reign is going to go?
I'm happy about it. People were really disappointed on the finish of the match. And I really enjoyed it because you have MJF selling this hurt shoulder and Samoa Joe's finisher is a submission move where he's just hitting the shoulder, getting the headlock, and MJF passes out. And the ref even looks shocked and calls for the bell. Now, some people are saying that MJF was actually really hurt and said, "I can't go anymore. End it. You know, take it home." But it makes sense to me because it's realistic. It's the same thing with you're working a body part, that old school, just like we talked about with Dan.
Limb targeting, Nakata. Yeah.
You're targeting the limb, the limb that's already hurt. He's in there in a borderline cast, and you make him pass out from the pain. I mean, I think it's great. I guarantee, you know, sometimes I get really bothered, Rick. I don't know if you know this about me, but I get bothered. And if the finish for Stone Cold and Bret Hart happened today, where Stone Cold passes out from the pain, it would be labeled as one of the worst matches of all time. Like, I think that today's audiences just aren't doing the storyline within matches anymore. They want storylines within wrestling, but I feel like storytelling within the actual match is a lost art that people are just not grasping onto anymore. And I think it's pivotal that we remember that, you know, even in the match, you can tell a story.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened here. That being said, Samoa Joe getting the world title from MJF with it was the right call. MJF will come back. What do you think? He's gone forever?
Yeah. He'll be back.
What do you think? Samoa Joe's going to hold the belt for 3 years? What I think will happen is Adam Cole will eventually get that belt from Samoa Joe, and then MJF will come back and get his revenge. And that's storytelling, that's wrestling. Yeah.
Long-term storytelling, my friend.
Real quick,
I want to touch on Wardlow because we saw Wardlow get really hot with MJF and MJF's faction. We saw him go out. I don't know if he got hurt, but we saw him kind of go away, come back, debut a couple of different looks, be it with his long hair look, with his short hair look. He was the hottest guy in AEW at one time. We talked about WWE dropping the ball with a bunch of guys. Has AEW officially dropped the ball with Wardlow, throwing him into this United Kingdom, or I'm sorry, Undisputed Kingdom here in AEW with the likes of Adam Cole and company?
I don't think just yet. because you could also make the argument that the WWE dropped the ball with Damian Priest before they put him in Judgment Day. And I think that when you put a worker into a faction, that's what gets them over. I mean, a la Dirty Dom.
Yeah, that's fair.
You put Dom in Judgment Day. I'm not saying WWE dropped the ball with Dom at all, but when you put Dom in a faction like that, all of a sudden he's over like Rover. I think that Wardlow, I think they did not do Wardlow justice when he was that hot. I mean, he was hot just doing a powerbomb. Crowd loved it. But I think that now he'll get even hotter now being into this faction with the help of Matt Taven and
Mike Bennett, Robert Strong,
all these guys. I think Wardlow will be the one. In my opinion, and not just because of his size or the powerbomb, I think he'll be the Batista of this faction where he will eventually break out, and he will be the one that will rise up.
I think. The problem is he was already supposed to do that with MJF's right. faction, and he did for a minute and then didn't. And so I'm interested to see where Wardlow goes from here.
And they might mess it up, and you know they messed up plenty. So I mean, it could be this is just another notch on their drop the ball belt. But I think it's not carved in stone with Wardlow just yet.
Let's touch real quick on, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it because we're going to have a whole show dedicated to him before he has his last match. Sting's last match is rumored to feature the Young Bucks. Apparently, he really liked the Young Bucks coming into AEW. I guess they had a really good pitch for him to bring him to AEW. Sting's last match is going to take place in the Greensboro Coliseum in Greensboro, North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. Do you like the idea of his last match, albeit maybe in a tag team match against the Young Bucks? Or who would you have preferred to see Sting take on in his final match? And obviously the Undertaker is not the answer.
No. Darby Allin?
That's actually a really good pick.
I'm not a fan of the Young Bucks. I never have been, and I don't know if I ever will be. So I wouldn't want to see that because Sting. I need Sting to go out on his back because that's my philosophy. You know yeah. that. You know, if you're going out, you're going out on your back. Kurt Angle, it should have been Stone Cold and KO, but we're not getting into that. If the Rock and Roman do happen, Rock should go out on his back, although that probably won't be the last time we see The Rock. Taker, you know, these guys, when you're gone, you're gone. Go out on your back. And I think that I couldn't stand the fact if Young Bucks gave him his final loss. I think that it should be the guy. It should be a student versus teacher kind of thing. You don't have to turn Darby Allin heel, by the way. It can just be I've teamed with you for years since you came into this company. But I'm done learning. I need to be the teacher now. And I want to see if I can beat the icon Sting. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
You don't have to do some gaga and turn him heel.
That's
why I think Shawn Michaels and Hulk Hogan didn't work in 2005 SummerSlam. Because you had to turn, well, one of them's got to be heel. Why?
Well, part of it was also the fact that Hogan didn't want to do the job for Shawn.
Yeah.
Because Shawn was like, all right, screw it. Let me be a bad guy.
Hogan didn't want to do business. I'm with that. But Michaels also didn't have, I mean, even though we did get some great vignettes from that, you know, the Larry King, you know, brother, you know, it's fantastic. Yeah. But I don't buy the stigma of you have to have a good guy and a bad guy to have a great story. Yeah, it helps. But if you just have two really great baby faces who are great in the ring and can tell a story on their own, you don't need it.
What's hilarious to
Plus, I want to see a coffin slide get reversed into a scorpion death drop.
Oh, that's funny. So what's even funnier to me is that there are people who think that this is Sting's last match in AEW and that he's going to make a return to WWE to have one final match with this guy. I mean, can you imagine this guy having one final match? If you're watching the video on YouTube, it is a picture of Undertaker looking as old as the Undertaker is. And people think that this is Sting's way to get out and to return to WWE to have that dream match with the Undertaker, and you don't need it. So I'm with you. I like the idea. You laid out a good scenario where he should be taking on Darby Allin. It's not going to happen. We'll see what happens going forward here. We're going to skip through the last couple of things in AEW. It looks like AEW is going to continue to try to bolster their women's roster as former TNA Knockouts champion and Knockouts women's star Deonna Purrazzo debuted a couple of weeks ago on AEW Dynamite. Be interesting to see where that goes. And then we had a match featuring Adam Copeland and Christian Cage for the TNT Championship, a knockdown drag-out fight that saw Adam Copeland win the TNT Championship. Unfortunately, earlier in the night, Luchasaurus, better known as Killswitch now, had won a contract to win it to have a championship match at any time. He gives the contract immediately to Christian Cage, and Christian Cage regains the TNT Championships. So you have the storyline still continuing there, but it's unfortunate that Edge was hot. Even though his matches weren't great in WWE, Edge was hot for a time in WWE, and now he's getting to go to where the fans are empty in the upper decks and in the hard camera side and all that stuff. So interesting to see where that storyline goes with Edge and Christian, if you will. Let's go to WWE teasers and rumors, because we've still got to get to our Royal Rumble preview and the curtain call in this episode. Teasers and rumors. Let's start off with the big one. You've already mentioned it. The Rock returned to Monday Night Raw as WWE teased that a former WWE champion would be returning to WWE. And indeed they did, but it was Jinder Mahal. And he comes out and starts cutting this anti-American promo, which we hadn't heard in a good bit.
I love it.
It was great.
I love the anti, you know, people are like, well, this is so old. I'm like, man, but it never gets old and it gets you hot.
On top of the fact that he's spitting truth. He was spitting truth in that promo.
I love it.
But the crowd didn't like it. Here comes The Rock to save the day for the All-Americans and beat up Jinder Mahal. And he cuts a promo at the end. Hey, when I leave here in San Diego, I'm going to go get something to eat. You think I should sit at the bar? Think I should sit in a booth, or do you think I should sit at the head of the table? A clear shot taken at Roman Reigns. You know, it's been rumored for years that we're going to get The Rock and Roman Reigns at a WrestleMania. I don't know if the title is going to be involved. I know how you feel about part-timers coming in and getting thrust into the main event. And the funny thing is that, and by the way, so you know, I'm going to go edit the show, and I'm going to bleep out where I said his name, because the name of Ahmed, was it?
Beefcake.
Ahmed Beefcake.
You should blink it out, and then do like a... Because,
like a blatant, like, Ahmed yeah. Beefcake. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'll do it. Ahmed Beefcake is...
Try to use the robot voice that you see on, like, TikTok, where it's like, Ahmed Beefcake. Like, that would be really funny.
Or like the Google Siri voice, like the Ahmed Beefcake. Like,
yeah, that'd be good too. Yeah.
So nevertheless, Ahmed Beefcake, it's funny that Ahmed Beefcake returned to WWE only to be passed over in the main event picture, potentially by the likes of Cody Rhodes and The Rock. So let's talk about it real quick, because again, we're running against time and we've still got some stuff to get to. Give us your honest thoughts. I know the answer. But this is what the fans want, man. The fans have wanted The Rock versus Roman Reigns for years. And I think we both think that The Rock has to put Roman over. What if he doesn't? Like, PJ, your thoughts. The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, because that's the direction we're heading in.
Yeah, I think your writers are so preoccupied whether they think they could, they never stop to think if they should. And I don't think Roman needs to face The Rock at all. No one on the no full time. This is what I'll say. I always say it. Full time contracted wrestlers do not need to wrestle part time or no contracted wrestlers. It makes no sense. And you know, the thing is that people will ask, well, who should Roman face? Anyone you can make a good storyline with that he hasn't faced yet. You have Drew waiting in the barracks. You have Seth Rollins waiting in the barracks. You have Gunther waiting in the barracks. You have full-time contracted wrestlers that could be taken on Roman Reigns and get something from the story. But instead, you bring in The Rock, because whether you want to admit it or not, the bloodline storyline is getting stale because your main guy is not there.
Yeah.
So you bring in The Rock to try and you bring in a part timer to try and lift it up a little bit instead of just making story.
But here, listen, I completely agree with you, and I'm gonna say something, and we're gonna move on. The idea that they're bringing they've fed Roman every legend that you can possibly imagine. I mean, Roman has taken out The Rock. He's taken, or I'm sorry, he's taken out John Cena. He's taken out Brock Lesnar. The Undertaker. He's taken out The Undertaker. He's taken out Edge and Daniel Bryan on the same night in the same match. Like they're letting him take out, and they're letting him be fed to every legend imaginable. I'm surprised they haven't put him in a match with Hulk Hogan yet. They haven't put him in a match with Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, they're feeding him all the legends to make this title run, in which he would have to be champion past, I believe, SummerSlam or Survivor Series 1 to be able to come into third place all time in longest title reigns, because they're going to let him pass Hogan's reign at this point. He either loses the title at Royal Rumble thanks to The Rock's interference, and you get Rock and Roman without the title on the line at WrestleMania, or you're going to get him holding the title, defended against The Rock, retain against The Rock, and he's going to be champion until next WrestleMania in order to pass Hogan's reign. And, you know, I'm with you. I there's plenty of guys on the roster that deserve a spot, but there's also that star power behind it. Listen, Lawrence Taylor main evented in WrestleMania with Bam Bam Bigelow. And at the time, it was considered the biggest main event in history because they got, you know, a NFL Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer to main event a WrestleMania. I mean, before that, you had Mr. T in the main event of WrestleMania 1. So it's what WWE has always done. And the difference is The Rock has a history with the company and is one of it is in his own right, a WWE Hall of Famer. I cannot believe he's not in the Hall of Fame yet. But imagine if he headlines the 2024 Hall of Fame class. And the first time Hall of Famer goes up against Roman Reigns for the title and loses. Now, not only does Roman Reigns have this, he's got the wins over Hall of Famers Edge and Undertaker, but now he's got another Hall of Fame win under his belt. So I'm with you. There's no reason to bring part-timers in, but it makes sense for what they're doing for Roman. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of match they're able to put on at this stage in The Rock's life and in Roman's career.
By the way, I think the match will be just fine. I think the match will be entertaining. I'm not saying that don't bring him in because it is going to be a lame match. Let's not. I'm not going to. You know, don't think that I'm saying that. You know, the match itself is going to be bad, and so don't bring him in. Don't bring him in because it doesn't make sense. Same thing with what I said. Well, don't bring Batista in to challenge Triple H and give me what I want. But you never lost to Triple H. But we just need a WrestleMania match with a part-timer, technically two part-timers, because Triple H doesn't wrestle. Doesn't make sense.
No, I'm with you. All right, let's move on here. We'll skip over Drew McIntyre revisiting the Tag Team Championship with Cody Rhodes. I want to say this real quick, and then we'll move on. You don't have to respond. The idea to me is that Cody Rhodes keeps on talking about finishing the story. Well, there's too many people that are looking to finish their story at WrestleMania this year. Ahmed Beefcake will more than likely compete with Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship on night one or night two of WrestleMania. You're going to have The Rock taking on Roman Reigns in the other main event. Drew McIntyre revisiting this tag team championship with Cody Rhodes, I think sets up perfectly, considering that McIntyre has cost Damian Priest multiple times of his cash-in, with his Money in the Bank cash-in. I think it's setting up for a Drew McIntyre-Cody Rhodes tag team reunion at WrestleMania, and they take the tag team titles off of Damian Priest and Finn Balor. So interesting to see what goes on from there. Last rumor is that Brock Lesnar is being rumored to return to television soon. We've already talked about one part-timer in The Rock, but at a radio show here in Greenville, South Carolina, Gunther made the statement that he feels that Brock Lesnar is his final boss, and there are now rumors that Brock Lesnar is going to be competing with Gunther. I don't know if it's going to be for the Intercontinental Championship, but it might just be a Brock Lesnar Gunther, you know, one-off here headed into WrestleMania season. PJ, I'm gonna just quick answer. Good idea or bad idea to let Gunther get his? This is what Gunther wants. This isn't what we want.
Yeah.
It's not about you not liking part-timers come in. Gunther wants Brock Lesnar. How do you feel about this potential matchup?
I'd be fine with it if Brock Lesnar was working a full-time schedule when he came back.
He's not going to. It's not going to happen. Let's just.
Well, not a schedule, but a contract, full-time contract. You know, because Roman Reigns is under a full-time contract, but not working a full schedule.
Yeah,
it's different. So I would be fine with that if that's what we're getting. But again, just a one-off. We could eliminate both part-timers and just have Gunther take on Roman Reigns and have the same great effect.
But it's headed that way. We are going to see Gunther compete for a world championship at some point. And I think in order to feel like he, in order for him personally to feel like he deserves to be in that main event picture, he has to put on a good match with Brock Lesnar. Because Brock Lesnar is that guy that was dominant, that didn't lose, a la Gunther. And I think at some point you're going to have Gunther in like a triple threat or a fatal four-way match, like we're going to see at the Royal Rumble for the world title or for the WWE championship. And that's how you're going to see Gunther lose the title without losing, and he's going to be thrust into the title picture. Because we don't know. Maybe Gunther wins the Royal Rumble. We'll talk about that when we come up next. We're going to take our final break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Royal Rumble 2024. It will be this Saturday on Peacock, a premium live event, and we are going to break down the four matches. By the time we're recording this, there's only four matches that have been listed for this show. And we're going to break them down and predict winners when we come back right here on Tap House and Touchdowns.
Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina, is your one-stop shop for all of your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs.
He's right. American man! Oh, God!
Yeah, as PJ is getting attacked by his dogs, I'm getting ready for WrestleMania season, as is WWE, as we are on the road to WrestleMania here. With the Royal Rumble premium live event coming this weekend, as of the time of this recording, we still have a week and a half, but at the time that this actually goes live, it will be this weekend for Royal Rumble. There have only been four matches listed. The first match being the Fatal 4-Way for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship as Roman Reigns defends his championship against Randy Orton, AJ Styles, and LA Knight. Again, this could be a way to get the title off of him without making him lose. It came about because there was a triple threat match between the three challengers, and the Bloodline came and broke it up. And Nick Aldis told Paul Heyman, guess what? Your Bloodline just got Roman Reigns a fatal four-way at the Royal Rumble for the championship. PJ, is there any thought about him losing the championship here without being pinned? Here at the Royal Rumble, or do you think he continues and carries it into WrestleMania against The Rock?
I think he does continue it on. That being said, maybe this is where The Rock will come in and cost him the belt. You never know. I would like the idea more of the Rock and Reigns if it wasn't for the title. So that would make me a little happier. And that's what it's all about, making me happy.
I think there's also a possibility that Roman goes over and then The Rock comes out and they have a face-off to go off the air at the Royal Rumble. The other singles match they have on the card is the United States Championship match. Kevin Owens won a tournament that put him as the number one contender for Logan Paul's United States Championship. Please tell me Kevin Owens gets the title off of Logan Paul here.
Yeah, because Kevin Owens can defend the title.
I'm right there with you. All right. The Women's Royal Rumble match. And there's 30 women, 30 men for the Men's Royal Rumble match. Who do you think wins the Women's Royal Rumble this year? And another question. I know I mentioned the possibility of Trinity coming back. Do you think there's going to be any surprise entrances into the Women's Royal Rumble?
Jade Cargill.
Ooh, that's a good one. You think she wins it?
I could see her winning it, but I think... I don't know. It's tough. I would love to see the women, the women's champion win it.
Is there a women's champion going to be in the Royal Rumble?
Probably not. But I'm saying, like, you know, how New Japan, like this past year, they had Bishiman win the World Tag League and they pick their opponent. You know, I'd love for something pretty cool like that to happen, but that ain't gonna happen. I would love to see, even if Trinity came back and won it, that'd be super fun. I'd be into that. She's a hell of a worker.
So here's your previous winners. Asuka won the inaugural Women's Royal Rumble. Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, Ronda Rousey, and Rhea Ripley. So there's not been a two-time Women's Royal Rumble winner as of yet.
You know what? I think Kairi Sane wins the Royal Rumble.
I'm gonna go. I like the idea of Kairi Sane. I think that we're gonna get either Becky Lynch wins the first. She's the first person to win two Women's Royal Rumbles, and mm-hmm. she goes on to challenge Rhea Ripley because they had a face off in Monday Night Raw on, I believe it was January 15th. I could also see Bayley winning the Royal Rumble.
I could see that.
Because I think I just listed it. Bayley has not won the Women's Royal Rumble. And so, you know, there's this, they've already kind of started teasing the idea that Damage Control is going to move on without Bayley. And this would be a good opportunity for Bayley to go and win the Women's Championship from why can't I say, Io Sky. And she's going to need to win the Royal Rumble to do so. I'm with you. I love Jade Cargill being a surprise interest. I think Trinity / Naomi could be a nice surprise entrance. They're going to see some NXT women, I think, get involved. So interesting to see what's going to happen with the Women's Rumble. The Men's Royal Rumble. We've talked about potential winners. Ahmed Beefcake. We've talked The Rock to get his match with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
That would be so bad.
It's been a long time since we've had back-to-back Royal Rumble winners. We could see Cody Rhodes potentially win his second consecutive Royal Rumble to challenge Seth Rollins at WrestleMania this year. Who do you think we're going to get? First of all, again, same question. Any surprise entrants in the Men's Rumble? And who do you like to win the Royal Rumble this year?
You know, I saw a rumor that Ken Shamrock might be in the Warrior Rumble.
Ooh, they started selling his merch, so that'd be interesting to see.
I think that'd be pretty cool. I'm a big Shamrock fan. He's a kook, but I'm a Shamrock fan. I always was. I always thought that he could have maybe carried the company for a little while. As far as who wins, it's tough. You know who I'd like to win and go on to face Roman Reigns? Solo.
Oh, Solo. I think it's too early for Solo. Way too early for Solo.
People thought it was way too early for Batista. I think Solo could be a guy. But Gunther is probably the right answer because then you can go on and have the Intercontinental Champion and the World Heavyweight Champion, a la Warrior and Hogan. But it'd be a better match with two people who can wrestle.
That's funny. Listen, I hate to say this. I think your odds-on favorite to win the Royal Rumble is Ahmed Beefcake. I don't think he agrees to come back to WWE unless there's a world title opportunity on the line here. And I think that I don't know if he wins at WrestleMania, but I think you're going to see him versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania on night one, as night two was capped off with The Rock versus Roman Reigns. Speaking of which, those are the only four matches that have been listed for the as of yet. We have reached the curtain call where we get to discuss a topic of our choice at the end of every episode, and that's where we predict the WrestleMania matches, and we're predicting WrestleMania cards here. I think both of us can agree that we're going to get Jimmy versus Jey Uso probably to open up one night of WrestleMania. Would you agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think it's already been predetermined. We're going to get Roman Reigns versus The Rock one way or the other. And then my prediction is the second night you're going to get Ahmed Beefcake taking on Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. I've already mentioned earlier in the show, I think you're going to get McIntyre and Cody Rhodes winning the tag team championships from the likes of Damian Priest and Finn Balor. I also think now you've got this nice little faction battle over on SmackDown with the Authors of Pain teaming up with Karrion Kross, taking on the Pride, the new team of Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. PJ, what kind of matches do you think we're going to get at WrestleMania this year, knowing what we know right now?
Well, I don't know enough research on the Lesnar Gunther thing. So what I will say, when you mention Bobby Lashley, I think he should be in contention for the Intercontinental Champion against Gunther. I think both of those guys have put on an incredible match at WrestleMania. And I think that would be that's a prediction that I would have. Bobby Lashley and Gunther for the Intercontinental Champion.
Okay. I dig it. Any other things that you got in the back of your mind that maybe you'd like to see or that you think you could see?
I'd love to see Asuka turn full heel and go after Io Sky. And I'd love to see some stardom style wrestling from Io Sky. And if my prediction is correct with Kairi Sane winning the Royal Rumble, both of them, Kairi Sane and Io Sky, being from stardom, I'd love to see that as well. Because anytime I can see, you know, two wrestlers who have worked in another promotion and now working in something big like the WWE, I just get giddy about. I think that'd be super fun. And I would like to see Rhea Ripley and Becky. I think that's a great match as well. But I don't think Becky has to win the Rumble to do it. Although,
yeah, I'm with you.
It would go in. You know, it would make sense. But if the rumors are true that Mercedes Moné is coming out of WWE, maybe she wins the Royal Rumble, and she goes on to face Rhea Ripley.
That's another good one. When you talk about surprise entrance into the Royal Rumble, I'm not you know, completely not sold on that, you know, per se. I think we've got a pay-per-view in between WrestleMania and Royal Rumble, and that's the Elimination Chamber down in Australia.
Yeah.
I think you could potentially see, normally we get a world title or a WWE Championship Elimination Chamber. All points show that Roman Reigns will not be defending at that pay-per-view.
I'm not shocked.
I know.
He's been
making a lot
of dates, and he's been defending his title a lot. So I'm shocked that he won't be there.
I'm not sure if we're going to get...
Can you cue in from Elf where he goes, "That's shocking"? Can you put that in?
I can give it a shot. But I don't know if we're going to get a women's Elimination Chamber match in Australia. I don't know if we're going to get like a number one contenders men's Elimination Chamber. I would like to see, for the first time, the Intercontinental Championship defended inside Elimination Chamber, and that might be the way that you get the title off of Gunther, and see what he can do at WrestleMania if you have him win the Royal Rumble, because it's the Intercontinental Championship isn't defended on pay-per-views or premium live events as much as you'd like to see them in WWE, but I digress. PJ,
if you don't have Rhea Ripley being the sole survivor in a women's Elimination Chamber in her home country of Australia, where they never go, talk about dropping the ball.
Oh, that's another really good point. We went over the hour, so I want to try to wrap this up. PJ, anything that you want to shout out before we get out of here today?
We talked about the best pro wrestling at the beginning of the show, and we talked about the sports entertainment towards the end of the show.
All right, folks.
I'm never gonna change.
Make sure you tune in to the football show later this week. We have the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Banker Bill and your guy, Billy Ryan, are going to be breaking those down and looking forward to the NFC and AFC championship games. Make sure you go to the Tobacco Road Sports Radio's YouTube channel or the Keep Pounding Podcast Network, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, and check out all the episodes of The Cat Cave. Michael Davis, Shannon Smith, and I all had a really fun conversation on last week's episode, where we sort of we had a debate on coaches and players returning and this, that, and the other. It was a fun little. I mean, we went long. It was probably the longest episode of the Cat Cave we've ever had. So make sure you go catch that, and you catch every episode that we put out every week. And make sure you continue to tune in here to Tap Outs and Touchdowns, where we're going to bring you all the football and pro wrestling talk that you can handle. We've still got PJ Stevens' next edition of The Time Machine. And before Sting's final match, we're going to have an all Sting dedicated episode to talk about the life and the career of Steve Borden, AKA the man they call Sting, hanging it up later this year. And by later this year, I mean in like a month. So stay tuned for all that. A lot of fun content coming for the world of Tap Outs and Touchdowns, as PJ Stevens moves his camera to his brawling buddy from the late 90s. Thanks everybody who listened to this episode, be it YouTube or whatever it is that you get your podcast. Make sure you go over to facebook.com/Tap Outs and Touchdowns, like the page. We're still looking for our first 1,000 followers over on the Facebook page, on Twitter at Tap Outs and TDs. Make sure you go give us a follow on there. And thanks everybody joining us this week, PJ Stevens. It's your guy, Bully Rye, and we'll see you next time right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.